This is the third message. They've been on and off. It isn't necessarily week after week that we do the messages on Christian character in the Christian character series. The one we're going to be dealing with this evening is honesty. Previously, we've looked at patience. If you want to hear the message on patience, it's on Sermon Audio site, and self-control or temperance. We looked at that just previous to this one, and now this evening, honesty. There's a crisis of honesty in our nation today. It's just really showing itself in so many places, and it's a great tragedy because it affects us all. So we can get a better handle on what I'm talking about and the issue that I'm addressing. I'm going to give you the definition, in fact, a couple of dictionary definitions of honesty that I feel are good. And here is what one of the dictionaries says. Number one, not lying, cheating, or stealing. Fair and upright, truthful. Number two, obtained by fairness without lying, cheating, or stealing. Number three, not hiding one's real nature, being frank or open. Number four, not mixed with something of less value, genuine and pure. Number five, being honor, bringing honor, credible, and commendable. The other dictionary in my office says honorable, characterized by integrity and straightforwardness in conduct, in thought, and in speech. Free from fraud, genuine, fully unadulterated, open, frank, and sincere. And it lists the antonyms of honesty, or the words that are the opposite of honesty, as dishonest, fraudulent, false, deceitful, and crooked. And so that's what we're talking about. I'd like to start out with number one, the Bible's demand for honesty. The Bible's demand for honesty. Our Lord calls us to be honest. If we were looking at our King James Version of the Bible, the word honest and honesty occurs eight times in the New Testament. However, the principle of honesty, as we'll see a little bit later in the message, appears both in the Old and the New Testament, though in the Old Testament, the exact word honesty is not used. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2. Paul is writing to young Timothy. Timothy is a preacher. And Paul wrote to Timothy and told Timothy that Christians should lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He tells them, live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. The word godliness here is referring to our duty that we owe to God. We owe it to God to live a godly or a holy life. And that's our duty to God. And when he talks about godliness, he's talking about the duty that we have to God. Now, however, when we come to the word honesty, that refers to our duty to fellow man. I was just talking with a member of the congregation just recently. He went to buy a house, and they quoted one price for the house for this fella. And then as he signed the papers and he put down his earnest money, there was an additional $10,000 added here, an additional $1,000 added here, an additional money added here, an additional money added here. And he said, whoa, wait just a minute. And if I were to name the realty, I'd probably get sued, but I'm not going to name the name of the realty, but it is a well-known realty in this area. So he went in and he sat down and spoke with the head real estate agent and said, there's something going on here. He says, this isn't how it was portrayed to me at all. And then the agent who was selling them the house started spinning his yarn to the chief real estate agent. And the chief real estate agent, the head of the office, pulled things out, pulled the young man into the office, and considered to just take him to task. And the person could hear it because he wasn't upfront. He wasn't honest. He was mixed. He was telling partial truths. And when you tell partial truths, that's a full lie. And so you just need to understand that God calls us by inspiration of the Scripture It says that we are to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Live a consistent Christian life that honors God and be honest. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, another passage of Scripture that I want to share with you. In 2 Corinthians, excuse me, I'm having trouble with my voice tonight. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21 says, providing for honest things, it says, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. You're to be honest before God, you're to be honest before man. It's very clear. Don't be mixed, don't be deceitful, don't fake it. Honesty is something that God demands of His children. Honesty is something that you need to teach to your children. Honesty is something you need to practice in your life. And as I was told numerous times when I was growing up, and I didn't look at where it's from, how many of you have ever heard the phrase, honesty is the best policy? Any of you heard that? All right. Honesty is the best policy. All right. Now, so we've looked at the demand of honesty. God demands honesty. We've looked at the definition of honesty. And now we look at the display of honesty. There are various areas and situations in which honesty is to be displayed. We're supposed to be honest. Number one, we are to be honest with things. Honest with things. The eighth commandment has to do with honesty. However, it addresses it from a negative point of view. It simply says, thou shalt not steal. So in other words, be honest. Don't steal. That's what it is. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, the eighth commandment. Now, my parents were sticklers about being honest. I recall my dad took my sister back to the dime store. There's some of you in here who never heard of a 5 and 10 cent store or a dime store before, but you know, that would be like the dollar store today or something on that order. But anyway, my parents took my sister back to the dime store and made her pay for a penny piece of candy that she had picked up. She paid for the candy. My dad made her pay for the candy and apologized to the clerk. And if my memory serves me correctly, she sat quite uneasily for the 6-block drive to the dime store and back from the dime store because there was part of her anatomy that was quite warm. But nonetheless, the point of the matter was we are to be honest in things. If God can trust us in a little, He can trust us in a lot. So we need to be honest. It just really bothers me. And I'll tell you, you're the close-knit group here, but you'll note that in the morning service anymore, we don't have the offering plates up in the front. And that's the way it's going to be from here on out. And it isn't because anybody has done anything yet here. However, if you talk to our assistant pastor, there's one time in the church, he pastored for a long tenure, that somebody came in and they stole from the offering plate. And so we thought, as we come to the times, that it would be best to remove those things and care for them properly, because there's some people who, yes, do steal from churches. If you follow the papers last year, there was a number of churches that they came in and they stole things from. So that's the way it is. My mother's house was just recently broken into. They came and rifled through her home while she was, I believe, she's gone away to prayer meeting. And they got jewelry and money. They didn't take anything else. Very interesting, the neighbor across the street, my mother lives in Michigan, but the neighbor across the street who's a retired medical doctor, but he had just bought a brand new, what do they call it? It's a wide screen, high definition TV. There we go. Whew. All these words that you have to remember now. But anyway, and he hadn't even had time to take it out of the box. So it was delivered to his house. Obviously somebody is casing the joint where my mother lives. they had just delivered to the house, but then he had to leave for a doctor's appointment. And when he came back, guess what? The box and everything was gone. Somebody had come into his home, kicked in the door. My mom didn't see it, but it was obvious. It was in broad daylight. They came into the house, they took the television, and they left. You know, theft is a big problem for store owners these days. And not to mention forgery and embezzlement and fraud and thievery. It's all too common. Why? I'll tell you why. Because people just don't have character. They just don't have character. They are, you know, they're living on the mentality that you do what pleases you. They draw a circle around themselves, and they're the most important person that they've ever known in their life. And so they don't care about anybody else. They just care about themselves. Now, my friends, what a great tragedy it is. And so we need to make sure that we are honest people. You know, to illustrate being dishonest with things, I'd like you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. We're going to talk about a man whose name is Achan, whose name is Achan. And interestingly enough, some of you who went with us, there's 20-some people went with us to the Holy Land and so on, but there was a time where Israel was going out against war to Jericho. Very, very clearly, when the Israeli army went to war over the city of Jericho, God told them, it says, the city in verse 17 of Joshua chapter 6, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, it says, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. It says, and ye in any wise keep for yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye put yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel cursed and trouble it. In a sense, put all the silver in verse 19 and all the gold and all the vessels and all the brass of iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So they had strict instructions. Don't take anything. Don't take anything. The only people you rescue are Rahab and the people that are in her house, because she was kind to the spies that came to spy out the land. And so don't take anything. Don't take anything. Well, Achan had a better idea. They did win at Jericho. Then the next campaign that they went on to was to a little area, a little town called Ai. And in Ai, all of a sudden, instead of being victorious as the Lord had promised, the Israeli army got routed. And they ran. They retreated. And man, they came back, and the men of Ai smote them, 36 men, it says in Joshua chapter 7. So 36 men were killed, and they chased them from before the gate. And then in verse 6 it says Joshua ripped his clothes off. Joshua ripped his, and he laid down, and he prayed before the Lord. And the Lord said in verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and they have even taken of the accursed thing. It says, and have stolen, and have dissembled also, and they put it among their own stuff. God did not go with the Israeli army, because somebody didn't do what God had told them to do. Somebody was not honest. Somebody didn't follow what the Lord told them to follow. And guess who it was? Well, his name was Achan. And if you have your Bibles there, slip down to Joshua chapter 7, down in verse 21. In fact, even before that, in verse 19, Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee," because the lot fell on Achan, and he was found out, "glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "I indeed have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." This is very interesting. This is very, very interesting. Watch it very carefully. He says in verse 21, Achan says, "When I saw," I want you to underline or circle that word "saw," "among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment." Man, he saw a designer coat, and he says, "Oh, man, I like that." "And 200 shekels of silver," that's about 5 pounds of silver, "and a wedge of gold," about 1.25 pounds of gold, 50 shekels weight. And then look at the next thing that happened. "I saw, then I," what's the next word? "Coveted." I saw it. I looked at it. I said, "Ooh, is that nice? Man, I don't have that. I'd like that. I'd like that. I'd like that coat. Oh, such a nice coat. I'd like that money. I'd like that gold. I saw, I coveted, and I took them. And behold, they are hid." I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. There it is. He wasn't honest. He didn't follow through on what the Lord had said. And you know what it cost? Verse 24, "And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." Well, there's somebody who wasn't honest with things. He saw them, he coveted, and he took them. And you know what? That's a lot of what's going on today. That's a lot of what's going on today. And I tell you what, God doesn't appreciate Robin Hood. It's not up to you to steal from the rich and give to your poor self or anybody else. All right, so that's one thing. And the second thing is that we need to be honest about ourselves. We need to be honest about ourselves. You know, we need to have an honest appraisal of ourselves. It's really easy to measure ourselves by other people. And when we measure ourselves by other people, we can make ourselves look pretty good. There's always somebody worse than we are. You know, somebody who calls himself a Christian who, you know, we can always do that. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, nor compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." It says, "But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. You know, it's foolish to compare ourselves to others. There is always someone who's worse than we are. We are to compare ourselves with the Word of God. That's the standard. Beware that you don't become self-deceived. You need to be honest about your strengths. You need to be honest about your weaknesses. You need to be honest about your virtues. You need to be honest about your vices and deal with them accordingly. I like what old J. Vernon McGee, I can hardly stand to listen to the guy's scratchy voice on the radio. However, I have this through the Bible series and read it quite often, and there's some of the stuff that's pretty good, and I thought that this was pretty good, because here's what old J. Vernon McGee said. It says, "They feel they are really fine, outstanding spiritual Christians because they compare themselves with other Christians in their group. That is not the yardstick we are to use, my friend. This is one of the tragedies of the hour. A person can be in a cold church and grow cold himself and yet not be conscious of it because he compares himself with the cold Christians around him. We all need to be around other Christians who challenge us. There are too many Christians who are in some little clique or group or church and they feel smug and satisfied because they are all in the same boat. You need to be honest with yourself. You need to evaluate yourself according to the Word of God. I'm not going to be able to finish this message this evening, but I'll conclude by saying this and pick it up next week, because I think dealing with this situation of honesty is very important. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Have an honest evaluation of yourself. Be honest with yourself. It says, "But think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith." You know, friends, we need to be honest when it comes to things. And we need to be honest with ourselves. The next point that we're going to look at, we'll not get into it, but we are to be honest in our representation of ourselves to others. The old Pharisees weren't that way. They wanted people to think they were more spiritual than they were. And so we'll look at that next week. But honesty. Boy, how we need to be honest, even when people are dishonest with us. But, you know, I was just talking to my wife the other day. It's very difficult to trust what people in the world tell you these days. I mean, and you know, and you've got all these contracts, and my wife's always been good about it, but they'll tell you one thing, and boy, a lot of times the fine print is something completely different, friends. And we live in a culture today where people are trying to steal other people's identity so they can steal their money. They're not honest themselves. But Lord, we need to set the example of honesty. And we'll talk about this in the future too. When you say yes, that yes ought to mean yes. And people ought to be able to depend on your word. There was a day when somebody said they were going to do something and they shook hands on it, that meant something. Just recently, I was told of a situation where somebody said yes about something and they shook hands on it. And when it came that it wasn't as it was presumed, the person said, "Well, we didn't sign a contract." Well, wait just a minute. You know what? That guy was a carpetbagger. Well, you don't even know what a carpetbagger is, a lot of you young people. That guy was dishonest. Dishonest. We ought to be known for our honesty. We ought to be honest when it comes to things. We ought to be honest in our own evaluations of ourselves. And the old Apostle Paul, he preached and he preached hard and he preached holiness. But you know what? When somebody would ask him, he still said, "I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the chiefest of sinners." We need to remember we're only sinners saved by what? Grace. Let's pray.